Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're almost ready to get started here. I will actually go ahead and just introduce Jimmy. His wife, Nadia, is coming here in a minute. Jimmy and Nadia Dukes are missionaries in the Andes Mountains of Peru at about 8,600 feet. They'll give you some more information here. I asked Nadia to bring a little notebook they have for signing up if you would like to be on their newsletter list. We'll go ahead and pass that around. Put your email and your name and your social security. No, just that's it. Credit card number would be great. Yeah. No. Basically, the goal here is to, Elder Gross mentioned, make them sweat. So we're going to have some really tough questions for them. The goal here is to help you guys get to know the Dukes. These are missionaries that we currently support as a church. So who are some of the missionaries that we support? We now have a missions committee that is excited about trying to find ways for our missionaries to be in front of all of you so you can see what they're doing, who they are, so you can pray for them. Our hope is to have pictures of the Dukes and their family, and they have some beautiful prayer cards here that you guys can have to pray for them better. But we'd like to find other ways as a missions committee for you guys to be able to interact and get to know them better. So this is one of the goals here today, is to introduce them, and I'll just be asking them first to kind of introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about who they are, how they met, and then what prompted them to go to the mission field. And if you guys have questions as we go along, I have some prepared, but I also want to, if you have any tough questions, if you have any other questions you want to learn from them, please feel free to share. Those of you who are on the missions committee, especially if there's anything that you heard over our dinner with them the other night, please feel free to say, hey, I want to hear more about that, or I'd love for you to share about that. So. With that, let me pray for us, and then I'll hand over to Jimmy to start introducing himself. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given each one of us different gifts and different abilities, Lord. The thought of having to work in a third world country, in a different language, in a different culture, with much less resources than we have here would be terrifying to many. And so we thank you for people like Jimmy and Nadi, their willingness to lay down their lives to for the gospel, be our representatives, be your representatives, and plant churches. And so we just thank you for them. We thank you for their ministry. And we ask, Lord, that you would just bless this time. You would help us to understand what it is that you are doing through their work, what you're doing in the church in Peru, so that we might be encouraged by it, but also, Lord, that we might know how better to partner and pray with this family. And Father, we just ask your blessing upon this time, for we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot to mention one thing before I hand this over. As mentioned, and you'll hear this in the announcements as well, but my grandparents, Harry and Florence Marshall, were among the first Presbyterian missionaries in Huanta, Peru. So Harry and Florence Marshall are my mom's parents. And then my mom and my dad followed in their footsteps to Huanta as well, which is where they currently serve. So these are the third generation of Presbyterian missionaries in Huanta, working with that same work that started with Grandpa Harry and Florence Marshall, whom this church supported, and then my parents, and as I was a missionary kid at the time, you guys supported as well, and now we're supporting a third generation of missionaries to this place. So this is an important place. The Lord is doing things here, and I'm really thankful you could be here to listen and get to know these people better. So Jimmy and Nadia, can you tell us a little bit about who you are?
So I am Jimmy Dukes. I am from Alabama. I'm trying to talk slow. And if you can't understand me, that is not Spanish I'm speaking. I'm just Southern, okay? I grew up in Alabama. I wasn't a Christian probably until 20s, yes. I went on a small mission trip to Peru. First time ever. I was very excited about it. This is right about the time I became a Christian. Didn't know what to expect. Fell in love with the people of Peru there. Just absolutely beautiful place, beautiful people, kind people. We did a VBS there, Vacation Bible School, and none of the kids, or the kids were actually liking me, but their parents, if Nadia could show you a picture of how I used to look, she would. She, yeah, don't pass it around. Okay, so you can see who, yeah, to see what I used to look like. But I met Nadia on the last day, so that's how we met. We met for like 15 minutes, and when I walked up to Nadia, even she did this. Yeah, yeah. But we exchanged emails, and we talked a little bit. We got married within a year, and it was a beautiful, well, 2 years, yeah, okay. Nadia remembers, she's actually my secretary, she remembers everything for me. But we, in our first years of marriage, we went on a missions trip to Africa, and that's where we fell in love with missions. And at the end of the trip, we looked at each other and we said, are we going to serve? I feel called to do this. I feel called for God to use me as an instrument for me to do this the rest of my life. Do you feel the same way? And we said, yes, yes, but where can we serve? And I said, hey, you know, when I went to Peru, I fell in love with the people there. And I know you would love to be around your family. I might not so much, but she was like, yes, I think that's a good idea. So we went back to Wanta to serve there. I'll give Nadia.
You went to park. Well, I'm Nadia Dukes. That's my U.S. name. As I was telling the missions committee the other day, my name in Peru is Nadia Suset Santillana Molina de Dukes. So there is a Dukes in there, just the very end of my name.
I still can't spell that.
So I became a Christian, and like Nathaniel was mentioning, and this is a very touchy subject for me, his mom was actually the one that guided me to the Lord. I was 16 going to 17, and I can tell you even what I was wearing the day that I gave my life to the Lord. I remember exactly where I was sitting, who I was with. One of them was Nathaniel's mom. And so since then, I was part of the church, very involved, Sunday school, just in everything, youth group, trying to be their helper in any possible way. I went to law school, and that's when I met Jimmy and those VBS that he just mentioned, that a lot of teams will come over to Peru. And yeah, it's true. I was sure that I wasn't going to marry a gringo, what they call. I was like, no, that's a no-no for me.
Especially this one.
Yeah, if the license is somewhere there, is yeah, that's, and that doesn't make even a justice because he had this long, long hair and earring and necklaces all over. I mean, necklaces and rings all over his fingers. But anyway, I really misjudged him. He was just the most gentleman, I mean, that I have ever met in my life. Like, my family, I think, fell in love with him even before I did. So he went back to visit me like 3 times before he proposed. And then a day before Christmas, right hours before Christmas, he proposed me. And then the next time he travels, like, what about if we get married? You know, we've been engaged for 6 months, kind of far away relationship, but it was perfect for us. We got married in 2007, moved to United States, and that was not a real move. 2008, we came just for supposed to be a month of visitation. We ended up living for the next 6 years. And that's the reason why I was so close to finish my law school. I was actually missing just 2 classes and didn't finish. All the story with Jimmy, move fast forward. We went to a missions trip to Uganda, fell in love to missions. We knew we have to do it. We didn't know how to do it. We just knew we have to do it. So I was working at that time with this really good company that was giving us like a lot of money at that time. I learned how to do it. It was funny to even say the names. I used to move military freight. So I have to learn cities that I didn't know even how to pronounce. Like Wichita, and I would call it Wichita, and it was like Wichita or something like that. But anyway, but it was hilarious. I learned. I'm still learning.
She just sounded Southern.
Very Southern.
Straight to Wichita.
But anyway, within a year after Uganda, we kind of saved all the money we had, everything, and we were able to make the decision to move to Peru. So since then, we've been working there, like, Jimmy will say this, you know.
Strengthening the church.
What?
The church.
About the church?
Yeah. Like what we're doing.
Well, we were meeting at, it used to be the home of Nathaniel, actually. But the church part was in a garage. When we first came there, we were asked to come there. And this was Nadia's home church. She grew up in it. But it, for different reasons, the numbers dwindled down. You remember Ruthie had to come to the United States, Nathaniel's mom, and Jerry came here as well. So the church reached out to us and were like, we don't know what to do. We're fixing to close our doors. We heard you were in town as missionaries. Help us. And we looked at them, how do we help you? We don't know how to help ourselves at this point. We just got there. So me and Nadia prayed about a week about this decision, and we said, why don't we help them? Why don't we do what we can? You know, it's not us in the first place. It is God. So this was about nine members at that time. In the first year, what was it?
About 35 people. Yeah, if you guys come tonight, you will be able to see a picture of the family that we are.
Actually, we have a display over there. You can see some pictures, too. We are a family, a beautiful family of 120 people by now. Yeah.
Today, we have a family of 120 people. Nadia says we got questions, so I have to hurry it up.
Most missionaries that come through here will typically go down with a particular purpose of either deed ministry of serving the community, kind of more like a social work. Others will come in as pastors, ready to preach and establish churches. How did you start, and where are you headed now? You didn't go down initially as a pastor, so it's kind of confusing to those who might not know. Give us a little bit of that story.
Okay, so I think it's hard for somebody to talk about himself, so I'm going to say a little bit about Jimmy, and well, it's easy about what I'm doing. But so when we went down there, very soon Jimmy was ordained as an elder. And of course, he did not know what that meant either. Neither do I. Neither many people and many churches in Peru. But he was just taking more and more serious. He's like, this is a huge responsibility. I just know that. And he would go more deep in the Bible and learning and finding books, asking people like Nathaniel or Doug McNutt, I think a guy that you guys know well too. And he's like, I need to study. I need to get better and understanding this, Nadia. What responsibility is for an elder to be in the church? So as the years went by, he will come to me and he said, baby, I think I want to go to a seminary. I want to be trained better so I can help the people here better. And I was like, no. That's a no for us. You can go to seminary, baby. We cannot afford seminary. Of course, at that time, we were living with very little, very, very little. I was making cakes, teaching English, and Jimmy was working in computers, and we were struggling financially a lot. But anyway, the years went by, and we were invited to a missions conference, and Jimmy was like insistent, like, I have to go to a seminary, baby. Really, I won't be in peace if I don't do this. I think the Lord is calling me to do that. I was like, baby, stop it. We cannot afford this. And one day we were at the missions conference and he turned around and looked at me and said, well, if God wants me in a seminary, he will put me in a seminary. And I remember turning around and just looking at him like, mm-hmm, and just rolling my eyes, you know. And well, the next day, we got a message from somebody that we met the day before, and we didn't know who he was. This guy was the admission from Greenville Theological Seminary. And he texted Jimmy saying, I want to offer you full scholarship at our seminary. So right now, Jimmy is in the third year of Greenville Theological Seminary in South Carolina.
I'm on the third year, but I would say it's the 40-year plan.
Well, kind of. But anyway, and last year in March, Jimmy was ordained as a pastor. So in our church, so we've been doing a lot of things since then. I mean, we were already doing a lot of things, but now we have a little bit more of a job. But it has been wonderful how God has been, like Jimmy will say this, and he said this to the missions committee, it feels to me like I did all backwards. Like even from being missionaries, we did all backwards. But then someone came to us and say, you feel you have done backwards, but God knew exactly what he was doing with you guys. So,
and that's how we know we've been called there, because God used an instrument like me that had no clue what he was doing. He knew he was called. He felt called. We both felt called to be there and want to. But it's like he grabbed us by the hand and said, look, trust me, yes, and I'll show you exactly what to do. You have no clue, but I'm going to put these people in your path, and I'm going to guide you each step of the way. So glory be to God for everything that he has done in our lives.
Amen. So something we learned in the missions committee was that, Jimmy was a computer programmer in the States, in Alabama, and then Nadia was studying to be a lawyer. And they both felt this calling to serve on the mission field. You know, normally you think of missionaries as being people trained theologically, but they wanted to go down and serve in word and deed ministry. They started out with Samaritan's Purse, taking any types of helps they could up into the mountains and helping the poor. But then eventually felt they wanted to do more, and the church was recognizing those gifts and asking him to be an elder and then a pastor and so on. So this whole idea of God taking people who are not people that we would normally put in this category as people who would be good for the mission field, and yet time and time again has confirmed that calling. And one part you guys left out was that Jimmy was actually basically converting somebody. Well, he was helping somebody who felt like the Old Testament was not something we should ever preach from anymore. And Jimmy was having this conversation, and this gentleman from Greenville overheard it, and Nadia had said something like, well, we could never go to seminary because we couldn't afford it, and then the Lord provided. So the Lord has provided each step along the way. You guys are now in Wanta doing ministry that you didn't think you were going to be doing, but you're doing now. Tell us about some of the highs and the lows of your ministry. I think when missionaries come, they only give like the big numbers and say everything is going great. But those of us who are in ministry and on missions know that that's not always the case. So how can tell us about some of those bumpy roads maybe as well, if you could. I want to hear at some point about Krupskaya.
Well, that's what I was going to start off with. We have an elder in our church that got married probably 5 years ago. He always seemed to have a difficult marriage with his wife, more than usual. Every couple has arguments. Every couple has fights. But it seemed like every Sunday, whether he would have to share something in the night or share with a small group, he was always had this downcast look. And I'm like, what's wrong, Wilmer? What's wrong with you? Just got another argument with Krupskaya, my wife. And as time passed, they had more and more problems until he found out that she was, unfaithful to him. So the elders all sat down together with him and said, Wilmer, what are your thoughts on this? What do you think you're going to do? He says, she is my wife. But first of all, she is my sister in Christ. So as I learned here at this church, as I learned through the Bible, the Word of God, this is a Matthew 5 issue where I have to put down my offering for worship because there's a priority to this. There's a priority that God sets for us to fix relations. And Wilmer saw that. He says, I need to go fix this issue with my sister in Christ. He approached her. Didn't work. He came back to us and said, okay, guys, you are my leaders. I need to bring you along. I need to talk to my wife with you. He did that. Still didn't work. We went over some bumpy parts, very bumpy parts. We had to suspend her from the sacraments. He had to say, if you're not going to ask for forgiveness, if you're not going to come to me as a wife anymore, we're going to have to divorce. She was suspended from the sacraments for a year, and we met with her about every month, and we talked to her. She was hard-headed, very hard-headed. It looked like this was one of the worst, saddest cases in the church thus far, and we didn't know what to do. At the end of her year of being suspended from the sacraments, she came, and Wilmer, and this was while me and Nadia were here. We got a phone call from Wilmer, because he's one of my good friends also, and he says, guess what? And we're like, what's going on? Me and Nadia always panic when somebody says, guess what? You know, and we're away from the church.
They were pretty much preparing the papers and all that to finalize their divorce, like sign everything. So we thought that that was being done at that
time. He said, me and Krupskaya are going to give it a go again. She came to me and asked for forgiveness, and we fixed our relationship so far. And only by God's grace and him following correct steps, biblical steps that we're supposed to do. Sometimes we as humans think we know better. We think that if we just do that, kind of like Abraham and his wife, you know, he wanted children. He didn't listen to God and to wait, I will make you an heir. But he just followed what the Bible says, and I believe because of that, his relationship is now on the mend, and he has a wife he can stand there with to help him as a helper in his decisions at the church.
She's actually now texting and getting involved with VBS because we're about to start tomorrow. We start VBS in our church, and she's one of the helpers. She's also getting involved in Sunday school. So this has been, like you can say, high and low. So, yeah. We have had other situations like that, but I don't want to make it too long. We have had problems and a lot of marriage problems in our church. People come in, or also parents struggling with their kids being very rebellious, and we go and approach them. And the low will be when you go and put your everything. Like I even told one of my ladies, call me. It doesn't matter if it's midnight. If this boy gets disrespectful to you, believe me, I have my ways. I can handle. But really, and she will call me, and I will go like 6 in the morning. Like I was literally just getting out of my bed and all that, and I will run to her. And every time it will be like, I listen. I want to do it, but I prefer not to do it. I want to do it at the end my way. And it was hard to see how some of those kids were, for example, this girl that I'm talking about, her son right now moved to Lima. He is in drugs. And she had a little one. We're talking about 14 years old. This 14 years old is in betting, right? Like bet, like does apuestas, gambling and betting. And he is also like smoking marijuana and all the stuff. So those are like very hard moments, our lows, I would say.
So you can keep these people in your prayers. First of all, give God thanks for the Wilmer and Krupskaya praise God that this relationship was able to be salvaged, and it is a testimony to God's church that he can change us when he chooses in a powerful way. But also pray this is going to be a hard name for you, Vasilia. Vasilia and her son, which one?
What? Well, the two oldest, she has three sons and one little girl, very baby. The oldest one is Moses, which is Nahar. The other one is Josue, which will be Joshua. And so, yeah, especially for those two, if you guys can put them in prayer. But I want to mention something really, really, really quick. So this is the lowest in the church, but we decided this time, we're going to come here and we're going to share with you guys what we also go through. So this is one of our bumpy things in us.
She's getting ready to cry. I'm
going to
cry.
No. I'll get better. So we found out that we knew that something was just not right with my husband. Not that there's wrong with him, something. I mean, I'm just trying to sound rude, but as you see in the, no. He had problems with dyslexia, and at that time, I didn't understand what was that. And we will say, chop, 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 we have to move, you know, like there's no depression. Depression doesn't exist, and all that stuff. And it was hard for me to even understand him. Later on, I learned a lot. Actually, thanks, Alicia, for that. She clarified a lot of things to me about him and how, for many years, I have hurt my husband and didn't understand him or what he was dealing with. Well, we came here and we went to a specialist that checks dyslexia and help kids and people with dyslexia. And we found out that Jimmy has very severe dyslexia, but also my two girls, the oldest one and the youngest one. So please pray, because it's hard to deal with all this. They are in a public school. They study in Spanish, and they know English, but it is hard for them. And we didn't understand if something was wrong with them, why they are struggling. And my oldest one is 14. And sometimes she feels very embarrassed, because when she comes to the United States, they ask her, oh, you're 14. Would you read this passage in the Bible? And she say, Mama, it embarrasses me because I cannot read as well and fluent like everybody else. But also we found out that Anna has a 5.5-centimeter cyst and her ovary, and we ended up in the ER because she was having a massive pain. So, but also two of my girls have scoliosis, is that right? Scoliosis, and one is a little more severe than the other one. So please pray, because even though this time here was very refreshing and beautiful for us, I just have no words to thank God for this time. Little bit less than 3 months, but it felt like a whole year. How spoiled we've been. All this time, everybody inviting us, taking us. We ate all United States. I promise you, we already ate it all. And we're just very thankful for that. But it's also very hard, you know, to go back knowing all this. So please pray for us in that part, too.
I'm going to ask a couple more questions, and I want to open it up as well for other questions that may have. Jimmy, you preach and you train. You are obviously involved in some of the harder discipline cases that come up in your church. Nadia, we know that ministry is not supposed to be a two-for-one deal, but I think in your guys' ministry, you both are pretty much full-time in the mission, so we'd love to know a little bit about what you do. But maybe if you could kind of explain, is everyone in Wanda already a Christian, or... like, what is the context you're laboring in? So first, what is the context you're laboring in? And then what are some of the things you're doing to kind of help address those issues?
Well, everybody's a Christian there. It makes our job really, really easy.
So in Wanta, well, actually in the whole region, in that part, the bigger city or region, what we call Ayacucho, we are known actually in all Peru that we are the most Catholic region and the whole country. In fact, if you look in Google, like what Ayacucho stands, well, it stands in Quechua for the city of the death, because of the terrorism being, you know, very aggressive in that area. But you will see Ayacucho as known as the city of the 33 churches. And we're talking about humongous Catholic churches. Even though we have a lot of, at this time, Pentecostal churches, a lot of Pentecostal churches popping up, as you can imagine, it has produced just a lot more confusion to the city. But we can also say this about Wanda right now. And you can actually Google that, too. We are in the path, or we are actually in a place where the most production in, what do you call that, trafficking of drugs is taking place right there. So Wanda has become very dangerous in that part. So not too long ago, you saw in the news, or you could see in the news, that there was this police truck in the middle of the road. And it was scary because the whole truck had holes of bullets, like complete, like a calendar. That's how you say it? Yeah, like a calendar. It was horrible. Four police officers were inside. They were all completely dead. And because we knew right away that it was, they were taking some drugs, the police officers were taking some drugs from other people. They say they were going to take it to the, you know, the police station, but they ended up also kind of commercializing that. So that's how horrible it can be. We deal with...
What you do?
No. What I do in the church is I take care of my beautiful ladies. So this is something that I love to say because I was one of the ladies of my Aunt Ruth, Ruth Marshall. Nathaniel's mom, and I remember before she died, she told me this. She said, I wanted you to take care of my ladies, and I thought, I mean, for real, there's no way I could do that.
See my husband?
I mean, for real, and now I do call them my ladies. We were a very small group of four ladies, and we can be now a solid 30 ladies in our group, and I'm beyond thankful for them. So I'm in charge of them. When I say I'm in charge, like, I try to prepare Bible lessons for them. I also help them counseling when it comes to marriage, when it comes to raising kids, when it comes to even problems with different situations like anger problems. But I also help in Sunday school. I also... I'm one of the teachers in Sunday school, also help in the youth group. I also get invitations at least once or twice a month to speak in the Christian radio station there. And this is something that I'm very humble to say, but I had to say it because every time he calls me, the guy that invites me to speak there, he say, Nadia, we've been having so many requests from other ladies, from other churches, and they want to hear you talk about single moms, how they can deal with that, kids that felt left out by their parents, and, you know, how do you deal with anger, how do you deal with infidelity, and things like that. And believe me, I don't know how to answer all those things. So I most of the time go around and tell Jimmy, would you help me, please, to put things together so I can prepare myself better, and he helps me a lot. So I'm beyond thankful to the Lord for putting him in seminary. It has been a huge blessing. He can help me quickly to put things together. So that's what I do. I don't know if I answer all.
Yeah. Okay. I know there's a lot more that you do, both of you do. I'll just say, for a little bit of context, the radio station that Nadia speaks at reaches about 500,000 people in that area. It's not only local, but it's also shortwave. And it's the radio station that was established by the missionary team that my grandparents went with. And so we see this radio continuing to pay dividends. So the support you invested in years and years ago as a church is continuing to pay off and reaching people.
And now it's even
in
international.
Heights. Yeah.
Yeah. People in Bolivia, Ecuador can hear that. They have like onda corta and onda larga. I don't know what it's called.
Shortwave.
Yes. So it goes even farther. And there's people in Cusco and Arequipa that hears constantly.
One of the most interesting things, somebody from, I think it was Germany or Australia, I can't remember, somewhere pretty far, heard Nadia speaking and wrote a letter to the radio station.
I was like,
So that was pretty awesome to hear that it can spread that far. Especially, you have to have special equipment to do that, of course. Sure. But to know that the gospel is going out that far is just amazing what can be done through the radio.
Yeah, and there's no other way to reach these little mountain towns, and if not through radio, they're yeah. so spread out. So,
Radio Mauta, Amauta, which means teacher. Amauta is a Quechua word. It means a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Teaching radio. Any other questions?
Biggest challenges, getting people to actually study and read. I love training elders, I love training deacons. We want to be kind of like a model church for the churches around us. But I looked at the statistics. I was like, why won't people read these books? You know, I want to train them in it. I want to sit down and just read it for them if I have to. And I looked up the statistics for how many books people read in Peru per year, and it's 0.5. So that has been one of the biggest challenges, is I have to learn the knowledge myself just to pass it along verbally as much as possible to be able to teach people. I love doing it. I love learning to be able to teach people. But you know, there's just so much information that my mind can store to be able to teach people. And you can ask any seminarian. You learn a lot from the books that you're given. And it's hard to train elders and deacons if they won't read. So going around to these different churches, and when people come up to me, and how do you learn this? When, especially people that aren't part of our church, they, you know, your church is obviously different from ours.
Yeah, that's the thing that you can say. So we can say this. Jimmy does have this huge complaint that it's hard to drag people, you know, to come over to the Bible study. We're going to start studying this book of the Bible, and we're going to be doing this. But one of the things that we so appreciate that from the time we started at the church, and now you can see people more like hungry, you know, like, what about if we start this? You know, they get excited. Sometimes we do not get materials in the Spanish. It's awesome to see how people here have books, like study books everywhere, about every single pretty much book of the Bible. But for us, it's hard. And so I was actually looking one for my ladies to start with. We just finished one. It's from the Garden to Glory. I don't know if you guys heard about that. We studied that one. In Spanish. So, yeah, it's good to see that our church at least is trying better and better to get trained better and better. So,
and I won't put all of Peru down. There are a lot that will study and read. There are some people that are very hungry and want to study and learn. So, yeah. Yes.
Cusco.
Yeah. We've considered that. We've looked into options like that, but it's a challenge for sure. We're looking into whatever resources we can. But I'm more focused, as of right now, on those select few that are willing to come to the door of the church and say, I have no resources, I want to learn. And they have this desire to actually read and study, and they can. But they'll come and they'll say, I have a bag of potatoes, I will trade education for this bag of potatoes.
Yeah, you can see people like that. There are already leaders that know the lack of knowledge, and they are already leading a church. As we were telling the missions committee, sometimes in some churches, like in the city even, they're called Presbyterians. They will say things like this. Well, how many years you been in this church? About 10 years. Oh, you can become an elder, you know. And then, I actually been here for 20 years. And, you can be our pastor now. You know, that's, for real, and have been cases that people has been ordained as pastors just because for how many years they went in a church. And so it's sad, but it's so awesome to see that lately they will come to our church, even though they kind of don't like us because we're a church that you will consider the most Presbyterian church. And they are called Presbyterians, but they're very Pentecostal. So they kind of dislike us for that. But at the same time, they come to us to ask, you know, like the presbytery not too long ago request a meeting with our church, with our session in our church. And this is just for them to know, how can we do that? How can we stop these weird customs that churches have around, Presbyterian churches have around in here? And we are Presbyterian. And so everybody will look at Jimmy and they will turn around, even the session in our church would turn around and say, well, Jimmy probably can answer those, like, I hope he's ready, you know. But all the questions kind of are thrown to him to kind of, like, how can we do this? Well, the Bible said this, and how can we do, why we do this? If this is not even biblical, not just not biblical, it's something that the Bible doesn't want for you to do it. So it's good, kind of like to throw it on him anyway. He's been helping a lot down there.
Yes, there's a lot of prayer going on for the Holy Spirit to guide me in those issues.
I just want to clarify one thing because they don't know the Connolly's ministry as well. The Connolly's work with the Quechua people outside of Cusco mainly. And they are maybe first to third grade level of education, whereas they're dealing with professionals within the city that speak Spanish. They're just not readers. So it's a little bit different of a context.
Now, we do go to towns outside of Wanda. We do go visit them. And what we do with them is the way of evangelize, not just the kids, but the parents will come over and see what's going on there. You know, when we bring Samaritan purses and blankets and food, they will come to us. And we do something like a little VVS, like a whole day VVS with them. We play, we study, and then we reflect on what we have learned. And this is how we do, you know, in the towns outside. We have some materials. Samaritan Purse is well organized now. They just don't give you the boxes. You have to go to training first, the person that is receiving it, and then the kids have to go through different classes to receive the box. So it's a whole process. It's not easy at all. But the lady over there had a question.
10 more minutes or so.
Okay. Yeah, it has grown a lot. So it's a town. It's a town, but we do have little villages around our city. So 1 hour, where the airport actually is. Yes, yes. We do have a little hospital in our city.
It's growing.
It's growing. They're actually building a new hospital. A regional hospital, which is amazing, but it can be a little scary too. Like we were telling the missions committee, I had my gallbladder removed there. It had to be like done fast, and Jimmy was saying, well, Jimmy freaked out too when we found out that I need to have a surgery like on a hurry, because I had like 40 little rocks in my gallbladder, and they're like, this needs to be done soon. And she was like, I gotta send you to the United States. And I was like, first of all, we cannot afford that trip. Second of all, God put us here, and we just might as well do it, you know. I'll be fine, baby. I'll be fine. But I was scared for sure. And so, yeah, we had to get it done there. But it was okay. They didn't do a laparoscopic, but they cut me, but it's fine. So, yes, yes, we will have to pay for those. In fact, we got one of the books from Legionnaire. That's the Bible study that we did with my ladies. A church helped us to get those books because each book was like $20. And a church purchased like 25 books for me, also paid a suitcase but now Amazon can ship a lot of things to Peru, so we're grateful for that. Hopefully, if we can get materials, hopefully we'll be able to ship it all the way to Peru.
I'm going to interrupt here just for a quick second here. I'd like for you guys to share a little bit about your financial situation. They've been raising support, which is why they're here in the States. They've been raising support for the second level of the church building so they can have Sunday schools there. That's it's almost fulfilled completely, that project, the funding for that. And they're also raising support for a future training center in Want as well. But I've asked them not to share about those things intentionally because they need support for themselves individually. And so could you tell us a little bit about your own personal financial needs?
Well, Nathaniel has come to us many times over the years and told us to do this, and we're a little hard-headed. Nathaniel would say we were very hard-headed. We love to be able to share our resources with the people down there, but something that stuck out to me this time, and hopefully I won't cry this time. We came to you guys a couple of years ago, and you were probably the third church to actually listen to us, care for us, and love us. You became like a family. I know it's hard to remember every missionary that comes in here, but we remember your faces. We know that you pray for us, and we care for that a lot. But at that time, we were making probably around $700 a month. Now we're making about $1,300 a month. Somebody came up to us and said, "Do you realize you are a seminary-trained pastor working in another country, and somebody that works at McDonald's makes more than you? You have three girls that one day hopefully will want to go get an education of their own. You have a future to look at as well and consider. What are you going to do?" And my smile dropped off my face. And I said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. We don't know what we're going to do."
And once again, I'm going to say it's okay, and Nathaniel's going to kill me for that. But I'm beyond thankful, because when we came, really, we were having almost nothing. And after we left, and not just, it was actually a little bit ago, a couple months ago, that REF told us, "You guys have some money in your account, you can raise up your salary for $1,300. I felt like millionaire. I was like, "Really? That's just wonderful." You know, I was so happy. But it is true. We do use a lot of the money that we get to help others. And we would love to do it without struggling, without feeling like we're hurting ourselves or hurting our family. But we really are thankful for you guys, because you received us like you knew us since forever and love on us, and you guys support us as a church, and there are also some people that individually help us. So we thank y'all, because we have reached that point, and for us it's not as scandalous. For us it's a huge blessing from God. So even though Jimmy say we don't know what's going to be, we believe we know it's going to be fine.
But our goal this time is to at least reach 2,500. We're about halfway to that. And we're looking for people. You already support us, but we're looking for individuals to please partner with us. Consider please partnering with us.
And they have some more information here on cards if you'd like to join that. They receive a lot of one-time gifts, which help them be sustained on the field. What I would encourage them to, what I'm strongly encouraging them to consider is asking people to give regularly, $15 a month, $25, $50, $100 a month. You can do that through the church envelopes by writing in their name here, or by asking our administrator to assign that in your auto deductions. You can also do that directly through the website. But I would encourage you to consider that. And again, they did not want to talk about this. They said, "The church already supports us. We don't want to ask for this." And I said, "No, you need to ask individuals as well." So they'll be speaking this evening. So you'll get a more of a kind of their presentation in the evening service. So be sure to come, and Jimmy will also be preaching. So at this point, we're going to go ahead and close, and then let me pray for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the road that you have taken Jimmy and Nadia on to this place where you have called them to serve. Father, we thank you for just your love for them, the way you've cared for them and provided for them. We thank you for their sacrifice, having been able to make much more money staying in the States and programming or shipping military containers or as lawyer. Lord, we know that they don't take this call lightly, Lord. They want to serve you. So I pray, Father, that you would bring others alongside them to support this important ministry, that you would continue to build up the church through them, that you would watch over their health. We think of Jimmy and Anna and Sarah as they struggle with dyslexia and the girls with scoliosis. Lord, we think of Nadia as well, who still wrestles with Lyme disease. We pray, Lord, for their physical needs. We pray for their financial needs. We pray, Lord, that you would also provide for their spiritual needs, Lord, that you would encourage them and build them up and use them to further your kingdom in Wanta. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.
If you guys would like to sign, we have a little display out there. Sign your email so you can get our newsletter, but also take a little card. And not for the supporting part, but maybe to put us somewhere there in your home so you can remember us and pray for us, please.
Thank you.